You're listening to Mary's Touch Radio. Our program is entirely listener-supported through generous donations from listeners like you. Discover and explore our entire archive of inspirational content at marystouch.org. And thank you for your support.
Mary's Touch, real-life stories of Mary's love.
I really do feel that Mary had a role in bringing me back to the Catholic Church.
He reminded me that Mary was my mom.
I always felt upon if I needed a desperate prayer, I always called to Mary.
I could see that Mary had a hand in this.
She began to speak to my heart.
Mary's Touch, real-life stories of Mary's love.
Hi, this is Sherry Lamonte.
And I'm Father Jim Evans.
Welcome to Mary's Touch, the show that brings you real-life stories of Mary's love. You're listening to and learning about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Our story today comes from Deborah Vasquez. Deborah has lots of stories about our mother Mary, and she is with us today to tell us at least one of her many stories. When Deborah and I were talking earlier, she said, Mary and Jesus are not off somewhere. They are right here with us. And her stories prove that.
Well, Deborah tells us that her sense, her realization, her encounters, if you will, of Mary really began when she went to Catholic school. And she also found out from her father that her birthday, December the 12th, is the feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Well, Deborah wanted to know much more about Our Lady of Guadalupe, and she learned more about Mary through having prayer books and reading about Mary. So we see all of these pamphlets and all of these wonderful books like Mary's Touch by Sherry Lamonte are all wonderful ways to introduce us to Mary, who will be more than happy to introduce you to her beloved son, Jesus Christ.
Oh, to Jesus through Mary. Well, Father, let me continue on a little bit about Deborah. She found herself as a single mom and had some hard times, and you know, a lot of single mothers do. And she told me that she made it day by day by saying a rosary and depending on Mary and her faith in Jesus. Deborah remarried and is now raising a grandson. The one thing she knows for sure is that her grandson will know Mary, Our Lady of Guadalupe. So let's welcome and thank Deborah for being with us today. Hi, Deborah.
Hello, Sherry. Hello, Father Jim.
Hi.
I'm happy to be with you.
Oh, we're so glad that you can join us today. And I thought, tell us a little bit, we have talked a little bit about your background, but how you came to love our mother, Mary.
Well, one of the things about Mary, you mentioned my father, and he told me this probably several years ago, and I was already an adult. He said, you know, you're here because of Mary, because he had been dating my mom, and then since they were dating, he started dating someone else, and she broke up with him, and he said he was just heartbroken. So he started praying to Mary, and the next thing, my grandmother, my mother's mom, invited him over for dinner.
Uh-huh.
she started plotting, and he went, and the rest is history. They married, but he said, I was their first child, and I was born on December 12th, Our Lady of Guadalupe. And so he said, so you're here because of Mary. And that somewhat confirmed for me just a lifelong knowing of Mary. Even when I remembered my confirmation name, I thought my confirmation name was Maria. And I wasn't really sure now why I always wanted Maria, which is the Spanish version of Mary. But when I found out that my birthday was tied to Our Lady of Guadalupe, it made sense. She was there all along. She's in all of our lives, and as we get to know her, we start reading those signs of her presence in our life. And so I try and read the signs in my son's life, my 10-year-old, and my husband's life, and of course, that's the story I'm going to share today.
Oh, great. Well, without further ado, unless you have a question, Father, let's get started with the story.
No, I'm anxious to hear it.
Okay. Please, tell us about your story.
All right. Well, it starts with my husband, who was in the middle of his diaconate. He was actually 4 months away from deacon formation, and he was just blowing and going, studies in the morning, late at night, working full-time, doing ministry at church. And he went to bed one evening, 4 months away, and it was like the week after he had preached his homily, which is a requirement. You have to preach your homily and be evaluated. And about 1 week later, he went to bed, and in the middle of the night, he had a stroke. We didn't realize this till he got to the hospital, because he wasn't speaking. He was just staring. So he ended up in the hospital with this stroke. The first day I saw him, he could just mumble. He couldn't say any words. He didn't even recognize who I was. And he was in there, and as time went on, he was in there about 5 or 6 days. Each day he would speak a little bit more, but it was still a major stutter. So he had lost almost all his speech. And we were just listening to him and trying to encourage him, but it was like he would recognize faces, and he would, you know, make voices of sounds of like excitement to see people, and he could say, I love you, but it was just stutters. Well, on February 7th, we'd been there 5 days. It was in the evening, and the other deacon, Deacon Costas, was sitting across from his bed, and so was I. It was late in the evening. And we were talking to each other across from his bed, and he was there, sleeping, we thought. And all of a sudden, we hear noise, and we listen, and we stop speaking, and we hear the rosary. And we listen, and he's praying the rosary very distinctly, very articulately. He's saying the Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. And we stopped talking, and we just started joining him in the rosary, and we finished it with him. And as we were saying it, I realized that the day was February 11th, which is the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes, and it's also the World Day of Prayer for Healing. And I just felt, as we were saying the rosary, that Our Lady had her mantle just waving it over us, and that she was saying, to me personally, I felt she was saying, it's all taken care of. He's in my care. He's right in my care, and it's okay. And after that, still could not speak. He still stuttered. And in fact, it took him probably several months and a year, and he's still practicing his speech, and he's had to practice his first homilies that he gave. He had to practice them probably 30, 40 times to preach the gospel. He stuttered, but he's so much better. But the rosary, when he would be assigned to do a rosary, there was no stuttering. It was always perfect. And I felt like Mary, when he said her prayers, she unloosed his tongue so that he could praise her and praise the Lord by saying her prayers.
Well, that is quite a story there. And when you talk about the rosary and you mention the Hail Mary, and there's a lot there with all of the mysteries, and he was able to realize each mystery and speak of it and pronounce it, and to pronounce the words of the Our Father, the Glory Be, the Apostles' Creed, all of those, right?
Yes. And this is after we'd heard like 4 or 5 days of nothing but the he could not hardly. It was like he would say, I love you, and very little else. You know, he would think of thoughts, but he couldn't. If he wanted to say somebody's name, he would say something else. Something else would come out. And he struggled with that. Oh, in the immediate months after we brought him home, he did not regain the full use of his speech for several months. I mean, he had to practice it like brand new, learning his speech. However, the rosary, our pastor started assigning him to do benediction, and he would do the rosary. He would lead the rosary and start it very strongly in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And everybody was amazed, and they were like, he's been healed. And then they hear him afterwards that he was still stuttering, but not the rosary.
Mm, what a gift.
Yes. How does that happen, Father?
we'll ask God.
Okay.
And the gift that your husband has received, Deborah, obviously you and he both have a dear devotion to Our Lady. And she has appeared in many guises upon this earth, and Our Lady of Guadalupe is certainly one of the best and most well-known anyhow. We all have our opinion, I guess, of which is the best. You know, our little prejudices showing through there. Like, I've got some friends who just would tell you immediately, well, that's a wonderful one, but I'm just really devoted to Our Lady of Lourdes. Another one will say Fatima. And then we have Our Lady of Guadalupe here in the Americas. And all of these are just marvelous, marvelous appearances and sites of devotion and sources of inspiration, as well as the graces that come from this devotion to the Mother of Jesus.
Well, and I think Our Lady of Guadalupe, did she not say in her apparition that, do you not know that I am your mother?
Yes.
You know, and a mother always wants her child to be healthy and well.
That's right. So true.
Yes. I think she also said some words to Juan Diego of, do not worry, everything's in my care. When he was worried about his uncle who was dying, do not worry.
Right.
Everything's in my care. I have it all taken care of.
Terrific.
That must have been such a surprise, especially, and you said the other deacon was across, you were sitting on either side of his bed.
Yes.
I can just imagine how big his eyes got too, huh?
We were surprised, but it was like, okay, the surprise was stop talking and start praying.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Oh, how wonderful. I just love this story because, as you said, you know, we'll get signs. Well, you had more than just a little sign. I mean, this was wake up and smell the coffee here. You know, this was a biggie. How very exciting for you. And Deborah, also, you mentioned when we were talking that how important it is that your son knows Our Lady of Guadalupe and Mother Mary. And how are you making sure that happens?
Well, you see, I have adult children, and as probably all of us, many of us parents, as we get older, realize, okay, I know more now than I did then. And so from birth, he's actually our grandchild that we came to adopt, and we had him almost since birth. And so, you know, since birth, I have been praying for a vocation for him, but I would take him as often as I had him. I would take him to church all the time. I would show him Mary. I made him a pillow out of a handkerchief that had Mary's image on it. And he's had that pillow since birth. He's had it always with him. And even now he has it. And he just knows Mary. We talk about Mary. When we went to Our Lady of Guadalupe to celebrate her feast day, we would dress him up and we would take him with us. And in fact, the very first time he was there, he was about a year old, and Father was preaching and talking about the value of the family and how the Holy Family, and right in the middle, as he's talking about the beauty of the family, my little one, Nicholas, screams out loud and wakes up everybody. And Father said, well, there's the Holy Spirit confirming it.
That's cute. That's cute. Oh, but how true. And how important, because I know, Father Jim, you always talk about the Holy Family and how important it is.
Oh, absolutely. And it's just a marvelous thing when we consider here that Joseph, the beloved spouse of Mary, was there as a protector, the one who was charged with the responsibility of getting out of the Holy Land, as we like to refer to it, and taking Mary and the babe Jesus into Egypt and making sure they were safe, and then returning when the angel let them know that all was well and they could go back to the area where they were. And all of these things that occurred within the Holy Family, and the way that Jesus was raised upon this earth, and the presentation in the temple, all these few stories that we have, each and every one of them makes us want to know more. We want to delve into it. We want to flesh out these skeletons of stories that we have in Scripture. And don't we wish, don't we want to? And sometimes people like Deborah come to us, and they help us to have a deeper understanding of the role that this Holy Family plays in our lives to this very day. As you said, Deborah, they're here with us now. They didn't
Father,
just exist one time.
As you're speaking, I had this insight. You mentioned about the angels and how the angels came and warned Joseph, and the angels came and warned Mary, and the angel told Joseph. everything's okay, take her in your care. And I was thinking, yes, all through the Old Testament, God was sending angels, but he doesn't need the angels to be sent. He sends his mother now.
Oh, there
now it's our mother who comes and says, it's okay. I have it in my care. We're taking, oh my goodness, Mary herself comes.
Yes.
true.
Yes, yes. And hold on to that thought. We have to take a quick break, and then we'll be back to hear the rest of Deborah's story.
You're listening to Mary's Touch, real life stories of Mary's love in our lives. Visit marystouch.org to find out how you can help support us with your prayers and your donations. Find out more about Mary and tell us your story. It's all at marystouch.org.
Hi, this is Sherry Lamonte. We've been broadcasting Mary's Touch for 9 years now. Each and every year, we've won a special award, from being the best Catholic radio program in North America to being the best Catholic website at marystouch.org. So visit us there, marystouch.org. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And thanks for listening every week to Mary's Touch. Welcome back. We're visiting with Deborah Vasquez. She is sharing how her faith and Mother Mary, Our Lady of Guadalupe especially, is her foundation for leading her best life every day. Welcome back, Deborah, to Mary's Touch.
Thank you.
So tell us, what is your secret? I think I know of this woman. You just carry Mary right in your heart at all times.
Well, I carry Mary. And I've been blessed even more recently when we moved here, because I've been able to go to daily Mass. And I live close to like 30 minutes from three churches. And I try to make it to daily Mass every day. They have a lunch Mass. And today, that lunch Mass, I wasn't going to be able to go. And I started researching, and there was a 7 a.m. Mass. And the Lord woke me up at 5:30, and we got there. And so I try real hard now to go to Mass and receive communion, or go to a communion service and receive the Eucharist. And I will either go, if Mass is in the morning, I go to Mass first, and then I have morning prayers that I do every day. I think it's so important to have that time with God and to be doing some spiritual reflection. We do the Liturgy of the Hours because that's part of the deacon obligation, and that was what they taught us in formation, deacon formation. But also, I also have my rosary that I do, because without my rosary, it's almost like I haven't brushed my teeth.
Good for you.
Yes, and it's just my way of keeping in touch mother to mother, and she knows that I always pray to her that I wallpaper my heart with her picture and Jesus, so that I know they're in my heart. And I pray, continue to wallpaper my heart with your image, mother, with your love. Every day, I make sure I have my prayers, but now the double blessing is that if I can go to receive the Eucharist, because Jesus wants to feed us every single day until we get to heaven. Just like the people, the Israelites, were being fed in the desert, he's feeding us, and he has a Eucharist, his body and blood, for us for every single day of our life, if we want it. Mm-hmm. And he will feed us every single day till we get to heaven.
Well, words to the wise, huh?
Oh, absolutely. And Deborah, along with the story that we were talking about just a little earlier here, with Mary now being primary among the appearances into the spiritual life of heaven, and bringing this heaven to earth so that we are more and more aware of the relationship with our loving God who created each and every one of us. We don't hear so much about angels as messengers these days. Well, I think Mary probably struck a deal. I think they have a wonderful partnership going. So Mary has taken the burden off of some of the angels there. But I was struck by the fact that on my daily Masses, I always end them with either aloud for the people or silently myself with Hail Marys and with the prayer to Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. And Boy, we sure need that these days. And it's wonderful with this combination of these marvelous saints, these angels, and with Mary actually making these appearances. And even recently, of course, as you know, in Iraq, this has happened. And here we have it happening to people like our friend Deborah.
Yes.
Who, oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
she hasn't had maybe an apparition. I don't know. Maybe Deborah has. But she has certainly appeared in her heart and mind.
Well, and you know, one thing that you just said, you said mother to mother, that you talked to Mary. And I thought, you know, I do that too, because I have children. And I always say, Mother Mary, you know, you've been there. Tell me what to do next. Or, I'm looking for your guidance. But I'd never heard it mother to mother. And that really hit my heart, too. And I thought, let's not forget that Mary's also can be our counselor. She takes us to her son, Jesus. And she has had this experience. And thank you for sharing that. I love that phrase, mother to mother. It's just beautiful. And you lead such a prayerful life that I am sure, you know, your grandson, your son, will grow up and is now loving Mary as his spiritual mother. And how is your husband today? I think we need to ask that. Otherwise, we'll get a lot of emails.
He's well, and he's actually going to, he's been appointed here in the church in San Marcos. And so he's looking forward to begin his diaconal ministry there because we have just moved. He was blessed that he was ordained. Even though he was studying with his speech, the bishop recognized where he was going and his progress, and the bishop ordained him, and he has been out there preaching and doing services and leading rosaries. And actually, I think it's been a blessing, because people, when they see how he struggles and they know his story and where he came from and that he's having to struggle, see that, okay, life is not perfect. When you follow God, when you follow Jesus and our Blessed Mother, life is not perfect, but God is still there in all the struggles, and you can still give him glory, and God is still there bringing healing, and God has his own purposes for all of the way we are, even in our sufferings and our maybe our disabilities. God has purposes for all of those, and the purposes are always to bring grace and healing and to bring people to his son. And I wanted to say about my little one, and one that people know is, I'm not perfect. I have lots of weaknesses and vices that I struggle with daily. And my little one, he struggles too. But he has a kind of relationship that I can tell him, okay, you don't want to do this. And that's between you and Our Lady. That's between you and Mother Mary. You work it out with her. And he does. And I think that also fosters that it's not just me and Mary. It's you and Mary walking together.
How nice. Oh, I think he's lucky to have you as a mother and as a grandmother, and to have his spiritual mother. And thank you for the work you do that complements your husband's diaconate. I think when our husbands do that, that the wives, they take on a role too. And you've done a beautiful job just by sharing your story with us today. And I so appreciate that, because that's how we all take another step forward, is through the courage that we hear from others and through their devotion. And I don't think there's any doubt there. Do you, Father?
No, I really don't. And I was struck by the fact that I'm glad you brought up that the deacon's wives are such an integral part of everything there. And there's the old funny story about, of course, behind every successful man, there's a surprised mother-in-law. Right. But also behind every successful man, there is indeed a very supportive, wonderful bride. Mm-hmm. And whether you're in the celibate priesthood, you have your bride, the church, mm-hmm. because you're married to the church. And some, of course, in this day and age are married otherwise also. And they have, as the deacons have, a wonderful support at home in the form of a supportive wife. And, of course, our Marianite fathers within the Roman Catholic Church and Rite, the Marianite Rite, they can be married. And some of them are. All of these things, the support of the mother, the woman, the wife, the role of the feminine in the life of everyone is just such an important part because, as we know, we have that feminine and masculine side of God. And without it, why else would there have been a Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, male and female, and he created them, male and female. And that's God's blessing and the Holy Family. It didn't say, I'm going to raise you as a single person or, you know, give two wolves to you to raise you like, you know, Romulus and Remus. None of that happened. It was the Holy Family. And with that Holy Family, here we are. And isn't that wonderful to emulate? And aren't we blessed to have families like Deborah's family, mm-hmm. once again, emulating the Holy Family?
Oh, yes. And, you know, the deacons in our church, I know their wives, there's a lot of sacrifice there. Pay attention to what's going on in your church and to the people who are making Mass possible. And our priests, and as you said, Father, the deacons that support them, they do a lot of work in
the
church.
They certainly do.
In the church I go to. And you know, their wives are right there helping. And Deborah, thank you for not only sharing your story with us today, but for being a deacon's wife. And of course, Father, we'll leave you with a blessing. But thank you for being with us today and sharing your story. And it makes a difference. I mean, you make it real. I think you're the first deacon's wife that we have had on the show.
I think you're right.
My goodness.
Yeah. And,
yes.
And what a beautiful example you're giving us and others. I mean, maybe someone's trying to make that decision today who's listening to this show. And I think your story might help.
I would like to encourage, along with you, Sherry, those men who might be listening to this show to investigate the possibility of you becoming a deacon. And you wives and mothers, look at the man in your life or the men in your life and ask them, have you considered the diaconate? Do you know what they do, how much they help, how much they contribute to Mother Church? This is a great opportunity, and I really hope that the diaconate continues to grow as it has over the past few years. And I know as a priest, I am very grateful for all of the deacons that I have worked with, served with, and have been the proud sponsor of.
Good.
Five of them coming in.
Oh, wow.
In, so.
Good. Wonderful.
Delighted.
Well, and the worst part about Mary's Touch is that we have to end right now, and it's too bad because we could talk some more. But Deborah, we'll look forward to having you back on Mary's Touch. And we always end with a beautiful blessing from Father Jim. So let's listen as he blesses us and all of our listening audience.
Almighty God, we thank you for the many blessings of this life. We thank you for the many gifts that you bestowed upon us for the gift of life, and we ask your blessing upon each and every one of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
This program is produced by Mary's Touch, a nonprofit corporation dedicated to bringing you the love of Mary and her Son, Jesus. If you have questions, comments, or a story to share, write to us at Mary's Touch, P.O. Box 341991, Austin, Texas 78734, or email radio@marystouch.org. For more stories or to find out more about Mary, visit our website at marystouch.org.
You're listening to Mary's Touch Radio. Our program is entirely listener-supported through generous donations from listeners like you. Discover and explore our entire archive of inspirational content at marystouch.org. And thank you for your support.